turn with us to the book of Exodus, chapter number 40. The book of Exodus, chapter number 40, is where we'll find our text at for this afternoon and give you what the Lord has given to us. Exodus chapter 40. And here in just a little bit, we'll also read some verses out of the book of Numbers, chapter number 9. The book of Numbers, chapter number 9. And so if you want to stick your finger in there, you can. But we're going to take our text from Exodus chapter 30. If you'd like to stand with us at this time, you're certainly welcome to do so. Let's look at verse number 1, then we're going to drop down in a minute to verse number 33. Exodus chapter 40, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent, the congregation." Drop down to verse number 33. "And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hangings of the gate. So Moses finished the work. Then cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and a fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys." Lord, we love you this afternoon, and we're thankful for the opportunity and the privilege, God, that you've blessed us with to be in your house one more time. Lord, I thank you for these weeks of study as we've taught and learned about the typology of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Lord, I'm grateful for the great picture of Christ and His church, His sacrifice and His fellowship that you've let us see. And I pray that you'd help us once again tonight. God, we come to you needy. We need you this afternoon. And I pray that you'd bless us, edify us in the Word of God is our request. Give us the spirit of teaching, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When we come to Exodus chapter 40, we are now given the instructions for the tabernacle and its completion. In the last several weeks, we have talked about the seven articles of furniture that we find in the tabernacle. There are passages of Scripture and portions of reference given here and there along the way that we have not covered. We could have talked about the principal spices and the sweet incense. We could have talked about the atonement money, the priestly garments, the ephod, and so on. But I feel like that maybe tonight would be the night that the Lord would have us bring this teaching to a close on the tabernacle in the wilderness. And I knew that this is the last subject that I wanted to discuss. And therefore tonight our subject will be the cloud. When we come to Exodus chapter 40, we discover that it is time for Moses and the Levites to put the structure up for the very first time. God gives the instruction to Moses to set up the curtains and set up the coverings and to put the pieces of furniture in place, to hang up the veil. And then after, if you read chapter 40, after everything was put in its place, God told Moses to take the anointing oil. And he said, "I want you to anoint every piece of furniture that is in the tabernacle and outside of the tabernacle." And he said, "I want you to take Aaron and take his sons. And I want you to anoint them with the same oil." In the Bible, in the Old Testament, even in the New, anointing oil is a picture of someone or something being set aside for the work and the service of God. And the tabernacle and the men of God were being set aside for the express purpose of being used in God's service. So he wanted them to be anointed. According to verse number 17, the tabernacle was set up for the very first time in the second year out of Egypt on the first day of the very first month, when the tabernacle was put in place and the curtains were hung and the veil was hung, everything was as it was supposed to be. Verse 34 says that a cloud came down from God out of heaven and filled the tabernacle. This cloud was so thick that Moses could not enter in to the structure itself. This cloud is what has my attention tonight. I want to show you a few things by way of introduction, then I'll give you my points and be finished with this teaching. I want you to notice some things, though, before I really get started. Look at verse 31 with me, please. The Bible says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Now, I want you to pay attention to the very first word in this sentence. It is the word "then." The word "then," when you see that in the pages of the Bible, you should immediately stop. There are certain words that we skim over that we need to pay attention to. If you see that word "then" that begins a verse, stop and pay attention to it. If you see the word "therefore" beginning in a verse, you need to stop and pay attention to it. And you need to immediately ask yourself the question, what is this verse referring to? What is the "then"? What is the "therefore" talking about? The "then" in verse 34 refers us back to the completion of the tabernacle in the previous verse. The tabernacle is now done. The tabernacle is now complete. It took approximately 7 months for them to build these pieces of furniture, for them to weave the curtains and the veil and the coverings. But after 7 months, it is put up. Interestingly enough, it could be broken down and reassembled in a day, but it took them 7 months to create it. And in the text, we are told that when they finish, a cloud arrives. We don't know where the cloud come from. We are simply told that it appears. This cloud, according to verse 34, was the visible presence of the invisible God. Yes. Amen. This cloud was God's presence to the nation of Israel. It is interesting, if you study the Exodus from Egypt, you'll discover that the cloud is not something that was new to the children of Israel. They were familiar with this cloud. The cloud separated them from Pharaoh and his army as they fled toward the Red Sea. This cloud covered Mount Sinai as Moses would go up on top and commune with God. After the tabernacle was completed, the cloud led them through the wilderness. When God wanted to talk to Moses, the Bible says that the cloud would come and it would stand over the door of the tabernacle. And from that cloud, the voice of God could be heard speaking to Moses. This was no normal cloud. This was the visible presence of the invisible God. Yeah. Numbers 14:14 says, "And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou art the Lord among this people. For thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night." You see, even the inhabitants of the land knew that this cloud represented God and God's presence among his people. I want you to think about a few things, this cloud, as they've traveled now through Egypt. This cloud of God's presence that's been with them every step of the way. I want you to see how this cloud has secured them. This cloud has secured them. Exodus 14 says in verse 19 and 20, it says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night." You see, when Pharaoh and his armies threatened the safety of the nation of Israel, God provided them with the cloud of his presence. This was a security blanket, if you will. This was security to the nation of Israel. This cloud separated them from the enemy. Can I say that there is still safety in the presence of God? Amen. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There is security in the presence of God. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is safety, and there has always been safety in the presence of an almighty God. You know, sometimes we fret and we worry and we pace the floor and we wring our hands and we lose sleep. And we do all these things because we forget one key factor. And that is the fact that God is with us. And God is for us. Amen? And when God is with you and God is for you, you can boldly say, I will not fear. You can rest in peace. You can know that you're on the winning side because there is security in the God that you serve. Yes. Amen? Yes. This was a cloud. The Bible says that they would set up their camp at night. Boy, is it not one of the most fearful times? You ask your children, they'll get afraid at night, won't they? Hey, let's just be honest. If it's thundering and lightning loud enough, some of us might get a little afraid at night. But you get scared at night, don't you, in the dark. They would set up that camp and they knew that Pharaoh was hot on their trails. They had just come out of bondage and they did not want to go back. And they worried, would Pharaoh catch up to them that night? While they slept, would the enemy overtake them? But you know what God did? God took his presence in the form of a cloud and he set it between them and Pharaoh, and he turned the lights out on Pharaoh's side and he gave him a nightlight on their side, and he said, it's going to be okay. You go ahead and slumber and sleep, because I'm the God that never slumbers and sleeps, and I'll separate you from the enemy that wants to overtake you. Amen. There's security in God's presence. Watch this now. Not only is there security, he secured them. But notice this, by way of introduction, he separated them. He not only secured them, but he separated them. The cloud came between them and the army of Pharaoh. In the scripture, Pharaoh is a type of the enemy, type of the world, a type of Satan. God delivered them from the bondage of the enemy, but he also separated them from the enemy. Watch this with me, please. Just because they left Egypt, the place of slavery, did not mean that the enemy was not going to come after them. Yes. Therefore, God provided a means of protection, and God's means of protection was in separation. Now, think about this with me, please. Just because you are saved and you have left the place of bondage of sin, that does not mean the enemy is going to leave you alone. Yes. Sir, ma'am, you are kidding yourself if you think that just because you're saved, you're not going to have to fight the devil.
Amen.
In fact, the truth of the matter is that when you were living for him and serving him, he didn't have to bug you too much. But now that you're not one of his, he's going to probably give you a harder time than he did when he had you. Amen? Amen. Yes. Just because you're saved and you left Egypt does not mean the enemy is going to leave you alone. Therefore, God has provided something for you after salvation to protect you from the enemy. You know what that something is? It is Bible separation.
Amen.
You know, we live in a society, church society, I might add, that doesn't like to talk much about separation. You know, folk don't want the preacher to preach on do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and living different and staying away from stuff. oh, you're just meddling. He ought to mind his own business. He ought to just preach the Bible, preacher. Stay out of my business. You know, they don't want you talking about separation.
Yes. Amen.
But the reality is that Bible separation isn't just for the preacher to have something to preach about and him to have something to get on to you for. Bible separation is a gift from God to protect you from the enemy that's hot on your trails. I didn't get one amen on that. Let me say it to you this way. Maybe you're not understanding what I'm saying. Bible separation keeps you from that thing that would cause you to move back into sin.
Amen.
Yes. If you are separated in your Christian life, and there's some things where you've drawn a line in the sand and you say, I'm not doing these, I'm not going there, I'll not do what everybody else is doing, then that line in the sand of separation is protection between you and sin and the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about Bible separation. It secured them. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There's some things you ought to keep your hands off of, keep your eyes off of, keep your mouth closed to, even ought to close your ears to. This cloud of God's presence, it secured them, it separated them, it sheltered them. The cloud not only covered the tabernacle, it covered the camp, the hot Arabian sun. I tried my best to find a picture of this, but I just simply could not find a good picture. This cloud, I believe, ascended up into heaven. And I believe as it ascended up into heaven, it almost umbrellaed out into the sky.
Amen.
And you can imagine the hot Arabian sun as it would beat down on the nation of Israel. But here was God's presence as a cloud separating them from that hot sun. And then on those cold desert nights when things would get so cold, instead of being a cloud, it was a pillar of fire. And that fire would come up above them and shelter them in the warmth of God's love.
Yes. Amen.
I'm glad that in the times of troubles and trials, God spreads His grace and compassion over us like a cloud. The psalmist got it right when he said in Psalms 105:39, He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. God not only provides safety and separation, He provides a place of refreshment from the troubles of this life.
Amen.
I want you to notice a few things about the cloud and I'll be done. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to notice that the cloud filled the tabernacle with glory. It filled the tabernacle with glory. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In verse 34 and again in verse 35, we are told that this cloud filled the tabernacle with the presence of God. You'll discover a great contrast if you study the beginnings and the endings of the book of Exodus. Exodus begins with the children of Israel crying out to God, slaves in bondage in the land of Egypt. But Exodus doesn't end the way it begins. It begins with a cry for deliverance, but it ends with the visible presence of the Almighty God and His glory filling the tabernacle. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 30, verse number 5, for His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hey, the children of Israel went through a time of suffering and struggle, a time where they cried out, a time when they needed God and they were desperate. And they cried out to God for deliverance, but God did not leave them in that place. God heard their cry and He delivered them. God gave them His presence and His goodness and His glory, and God's able to do the same for you and me. Hey, you may be weeping tonight. You may have heartache tonight. You may have trouble tonight. But for the child of God, for every cry of sorrow, there'll be a shout of victory. And you may weep tonight, but you'll shout tomorrow, because God can take you from Exodus 1 to Exodus 40, and He can take you from weeping to shouting. because the presence of God is there. When God began to give Moses the blueprint of the tabernacle, he promised him that when he completed the work, he would dwell there. Therefore, when the tabernacle was complete, God gave his approval to the finished work, and he filled the tabernacle with a cloud. A cloud so great that Moses could not even enter into the tabernacle. It is interesting, if you study the book of 1 Kings, you'll discover that when Solomon completed the temple, the Bible says that the very same cloud filled the temple. The Bible says in 1 Kings 8, 10 and 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of God, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Amen. God was giving his approval by sending this cloud of grace. John saw the same cloud in the tabernacle in heaven, according to Revelation 15:8. The Bible says in Revelation 15:8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. You see, this was a visible presence of the glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
It filled the house. It's interesting. God doesn't fill the house with a cloud of smoke like he did in Moses' day, like he did in Solomon's day, like John saw in heaven. But you know, I'll have to be honest with you. There's been a handful of times that I've been in church and it's got kind of foggy in there. And you just kind of knew that God was giving his approval by sending
Amen.
His presence.
Amen.
You couldn't see it. You couldn't see the cloud, but you could still see God.
Yes.
You could see it on the faces of the people. You could see it in the tears that dripped off their cheeks. You could hear it in the shout that came from their lips. God was giving his approval. I see that it filled the tabernacle with glory, but I want you to see that it furnished the people with guidance. It furnished the people with guidance. Look at verse 36. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward with their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up when they journeyed, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. If you've got your finger in the book of Numbers, I told you I'd read a few verses out of Numbers 15 or Numbers chapter 9. We'll begin in verse 15. The Bible says, and on that day, I'm giving a more detailed account now of what we're saying in Exodus. And on that day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And the commandment of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was that when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed and kept the charge of the Lord. At the commandment of the Lord and by the hand of Moses. Allow me to say that, first of all, this cloud was absolutely necessary if the people were going to follow God. You see, a sinful man is incapable of knowing the way that God wants him to go.
Yes.
In fact, the reality is that you can't know God's ways unless he reveals them to you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to walketh to direct his steps. You see, you do not know the ways of God. You don't even know the path that God wants your life to go.
Amen.
Unless he shows it to you.
Amen.
Somebody will give the advice, and boy, this sounds so good. It sounds so good. Somebody will give the advice when somebody is at a crossroads in their life and they've got a decision to make, maybe something about their future. And they'll give you this advice. They'll say, well, just look within yourself and you'll find the answer. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds so good. But the reality is that you can look inside of yourself and you know what you'll find? You'll find nothing. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Instead, you ought to look to God. Psalms 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye, the Lord says. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
Yes, amen.
Therefore, the children of Israel didn't know when to stay, when to go in the wilderness. And so what God would do is God would allow this cloud to guide them as they journeyed and as they moved. If God wanted them to move, the cloud, if God wanted them to move, the cloud would move. And if God wanted them to be at rest, the cloud would stay. According to the book of Numbers, sometimes it would stay for a couple days. Sometimes it'd stay for a couple weeks or a couple months. It might even stay for a year before it moved again. I want you to notice a few things about this cloud. I want you to notice that in the book of Exodus and again in the book of Numbers, maybe you saw this, but I didn't see it. I don't find anywhere where God consulted with the nation of Israel about when was a convenient time to move. I never read where God came down from that cloud and announced to the nation, I'm thinking about moving tomorrow. Is that good with you? Instead, God expected them to be 100% completely submissive to his will. And when he said move, they were to move. And when he said stay, they were to stay. But you know the best thing about being submissive to the will of God is that you never have to wonder whether you're going in the right direction.
Amen.
You see, when you are completely surrendered to God and God is directing your paths, you can know with 100% certainty you're going in the right direction.
Amen.
There were many times that the cloud would be taken up in the middle of the night. In fact, they had to be ready to move at a moment's notice. I would imagine, I'm using my imagination here, I would imagine that there were probably some times that God asked them to move when it probably wasn't real convenient for them to move. Think about it. Can you imagine moving to a new place and you just get your campsite set up and You just get all your things in order and you just settle down and it seems like you finally got everything ready and all of a sudden that cloud moves again.
Amen.
You got to pack everything back up and move. You think, well, God, I just moved 2 days ago. And God moves you to a new place and you get everything set up and everything in its order and there goes that cloud one more time. You think, God, what are we doing? You've just moved us. You're just moving us again. But the reality is that convenience was no excuse.
Amen.
For being disobedient to the will of God.
Amen.
These people couldn't make any permanent plans because they never knew when God would move them. James gives some pretty good advice in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13, 14, and 15. James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that.
Amen.
Say, oh, James, that's such a little thing. Why would you even mention that? Allow me to give you some advice. And I think this is James' advice also. My advice would be is not to drive your stakes too deep.
Amen.
Some people are so set and they're so settled in their ways that they are completely unwilling to budge and move, even if it's the will of God.
Amen.
There are some people that get so settled in doing something the same way day in and day out, year in and year out, that if God said do something different, they would tell God no, because that's the way they had always done it. Amen. That's exactly right. It happens in churches. We get used to our routine. That's the way grandma did it. That's the way papa did it and mom and dad did it. But if the voice of God speaks and the cloud moves in a different direction, you sticking with grandma or you sticking with God?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we grow roots deep. Sometimes we grow roots so deep that we can't allow God to pull us up and move us if He wants us to. I want you to think about the opposite end of that. I wonder if it didn't get difficult sometimes when the cloud didn't move. When they set up their tent and they've been there for days and weeks and months. And every day they're watching this cloud and it's not moving. And they wonder, when is this thing going to move again? And they start growing restless inside of them. When will God move? And in these times, God is teaching them patience.
Amen. Yes.
You see, we'll go through seasons. I promise you, you'll go through seasons in your personal life where you'll wonder when you'll feel the presence of God move again.
Amen.
You can be right smack dab in the will of God, doing exactly what God wants you to do, being where God wants you to be. You're right there. Go through periods of time when you don't feel God move. You pray and you pray and you pray and you wonder, are my prayers even being heard? And you come to church and you see somebody else get blessed, but you just nothing. And you wonder in those times and you grow restless, God, when will you move in my spirit again? And it could be that God's teaching you patience. And He wants you to just be in your place, doing what He's told you to do, and be faithful to that.
Amen.
Until He moves you different. Since the call to move could come at any time, the sons of Aaron had to set up a constant watch and watch that cloud. And if the cloud moved, they would blow a silver trumpet. And at the sound of the trumpet, the people would pack up their things quickly. They would break down the tabernacle immediately and they would begin to move. Let me say one more thing and then I'll move on to my last point, and it's a short one. I'm done. Let me say this. It was dangerous for the nation of Israel to move until God told them to.
Amen.
It was dangerous to move without the presence of God. We're all familiar with the text where the children of Israel march up to Kadesh Barnea and Moses sends the spies over into the Canaan land and they come back with an evil report. 10 of them did. Joshua and Caleb had some guts, but the rest of them were a bunch of chickens. And they said, we can't do it. We're not able. The reality is that God had told them to go take that land. That's where the presence of God wanted to go. Joshua and Caleb said so. Caleb said, God's going to give us that land. God said, go. they said, we be not able. And they refused to go where the presence of God was going. We all know that story. But what we don't know is in Numbers chapter 14, a few days later, they changed their mind. And some of them get the big idea that they're going to go take the mountain. They're going to take the Canaan land. They are going to go on. They're going to go now. And Moses looks at him and he says, boys, God's not in that. God's presence won't go with you is exactly what Moses told him. God's presence will not go with you if you go up in the mountain. They said, I think we'll go anyways. The Bible says they went up on that mountain and Amalek met them up there and utterly destroyed them. You know what they did? They tried to move without the presence of God. Amen. There are times we've got to move, but there are times we've got to be still.
Yes. Amen.
Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
I'm done with this. This cloud, it fixed their attention on the grace of God. It fixed their attention on the grace of God. Verse 38, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night. The sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. Normal clouds would have been chased away by the wind, but this cloud was different. This cloud stayed with the people day and night. This cloud was the abiding presence of God. And I want you to consider something with me. Consider that this cloud of God's presence stayed with these people even when they doubted His wisdom. This cloud stayed even when they broke His laws. Even when they complained about His grace, this cloud stayed. I'm glad that I serve a merciful and a long-suffering God. John 14:16, I will pray the Father and He will give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. February 23rd, 1993, 14-year-old kid, I got saved. And on that night, immediately the Holy Spirit of God moved inside of me. I've never been alone since.
Amen.
You say, oh, Brother Josh, you're saying you've not sinned since then? No, I'm not saying that. I have. I've failed and I've faltered along the journey. But there's never been one time that I've fallen and God has said, I'm giving up on you.
Amen.
And took His presence away. In the daytime, it was a pillar of cloud. At the nighttime, it was a pillar of fire. This cloud was a cloud by day and fire by night because God wanted them to be able to see His presence every hour of the day.
Amen.
There was never a time these people went without God. God directed their steps. God guided their paths. God gave them light in the darkness. He gave them His presence. Lord, I love You and I thank You for the opportunity that we've had to preach the Word of God tonight. I pray that You've helped us to learn something about You, that You've edified the body of Christ is my prayer. Lord, I'm glad for Your presence. I'm glad for those instances where I've felt the move of God in my own life. I'm glad for those times where it's been foggy in my car and been foggy in the church, been foggy in the prayer closet. I'm glad for those times. Thank You for Your presence, Your abiding presence in our life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.